Been praying over the scripture that we're going to read here in just a few moments this week. It's a lectionary scripture out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And last night, yesterday afternoon, I had a chance to go hunting. And I said, you know what? I don't want to carry everything with me. It's a last minute decision. I'm going to kind of go pretty light and just carry the minimum stuff that I need. So I left my backpack at the house. Well, I'm sitting there and had some deer come around, and it got really dark, and I had to wait for them to leave before I left. And I got ready to get down, pushed the light on my flashlight, the button. It came on for all of about 2 seconds, and then it died. And I said, no problem. I've got another light in my backpack, which was in the truck. So pitch black dark in the middle of the woods. I have waited too late to get down because all of these deer are around, or these two deer were around. And it is just total darkness. And I had to walk out of the woods. And of course, I'm thinking, you know what? What's here? I mean, we're talking about blindness and vision this week in church. So what's here? And I started thinking about what it's like to walk through life not being able to see. I mean, you're taking each step and you're not sure what that step is going to end up. You're going to step in a hole. You're going to trip over a rock. What's going to happen? And I started thinking about that in relation to what this scripture is that we share today, and about what it means to be physically blind versus spiritually blind. Well, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we hear this morning. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now when we think about blindness, we can think of it in several senses. It can take a physical nature, a spiritual state, a lack of understanding. But regardless, you get to a place where you're not able to see, or you're not able to see clearly, or you don't have a clear vision. A few weeks back, we were talking about the light, and we referenced that anxiety that we felt when we woke up in a dark house or found ourselves in a place of complete darkness. A darkness that could only be made better by light. You know, light makes everything better. When we're walking around a real dark place, just turning on a flashlight makes us feel more comfortable. If we're in a dark parking lot, congregating towards a light pole makes us feel more comfortable. In this place out here, when we turn the lights off, and you'll see it on Trunk or Treat, when we turn the lights off, it is complete blackness. Unless you've got the flashlight that we use whenever you have to turn off the lights and sneak out of the building. Because it gets so dark. So light provides some comfort. But the thing is, we often equate that vision with eyesight. But from a spiritual sense, we have to remember that vision is about seeing with our hearts. What I would say to you this morning, it doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter who you are. I don't care what education you have, what position you hold in the church, what your perceptions are of yourself or your experience, it does not matter. At some point, every person has or will or currently are walking in blindness. At some point in your life, if you have not already, you will, we're going to get to the point of walking in a spiritual blindness. And I don't care if you're a preacher, a teacher, laity, or mentor anybody, we're all going to walk in that spiritual blindness at some point. One of the things that I read in preparing for this sermon was from a very accomplished preacher. He said, I'm ordained as an elder in the United Methodist Church. I've got a master's in divinity, a doctorate in theological education, and I consider myself to be spiritually blind at times, that I just don't get it sometimes. Now, those are pretty hard words to say, but I want you to look just for a minute about what's happening here in this scripture, and we're going to come back to it. But the disciples are spiritually blind. The disciples are spiritually blind. Because what did they say when the man cried out to Jesus? Shh, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. So do you think the disciples really understood what was going on as well? Because they're still growing, just like we're still growing. There are going to be those places we don't really get it. We don't really understand. Now, this scripture we read from Mark is about a blind beggar. I mean, and everything points to the fact that it's a physical state, that he's really blind, sitting by the roadside. But if you look at the scriptures leading up to this encounter and the scriptures after, and then throughout the rest of the Bible, we see so many places where vision and blindness is referencing a spiritual state. Now, as we sit here today and we look around our community with the discerning eyes of our heart, we see so many places where there's brokenness. We see places where people are hopeless. We see places where people are lost, where people just don't get it. And we sit back and say, how is it that people can't see what's before them or see what they need to do? But we're from the outside looking in. There are just so many people that don't understand. And for the life of us, we have a hard time understanding it. People don't get it in the world around us. People have lost their way. Now, there are a lot that have begun to search. Many people have started seeking, have started searching. They're looking for that light. They know that they're missing something. They know that that darkness they walk in is an uncomfortable place, and they want the light of something to provide that illumination. Now, there are those that try to find that light to make them feel better with gambling or with having a bunch of money or the nicest car or the nicest house or all that stuff. There are people that try that, but they still walk in that darkness. And it's not until they find that true light that they're going to really be lifted up from the blindness that they experience. My favorite hymn that we sing a lot here in church, Amazing Grace, I was blind, but now I see. And it's talking about a place of darkness that we experience in our lives, that people experience. But when we experience the light of Christ, that blindness disappears. And we can see more clearly. But as we look around, we see those people in our communities that still have not gained that vision. We see those spiritually blind in our communities who do not acknowledge God. And even in our faith communities, we see those that are spiritually blind. We see people in churches across our country that think they have an inclusive right to Jesus Christ, that you've got to conform to their standards to be able to receive Christ. Not to conform to the standards of the Scripture, but you've got to conform to the standards of the church you're attending so that you can receive Jesus Christ. We see those in our faith communities that think they've figured out the least that they've got to do to get to heaven. They think, okay, if I go to church here, here, and here, I tithe 10%, and I smile at people, then I'm good. But I would draw your attention, or those people's attention, so that's what I would say, is when you see those people, open up the book and look in the book, and the book talks about that rich young man that said, Jesus, what's the least I've got to do to get to heaven? And Jesus said, you've got to change everything. You've got to give up who you are and become who you are to be in me. You're to give up everything. And God didn't like it because he was a really rich man. He didn't want to give up everything. He was looking for check boxes that he could fill out so that he could get into heaven. The cost of following Christ is great, but the rewards are even greater. We see what happens with this beggar, this blind beggar, when Jesus healed him. He didn't get up and say, oh wow, thanks, see you later, and go the other way. He got up and he started following Jesus. He picked his cloak up and stood up. And when, once he regained his sight, he said, "Wow, I see now." And he started following Jesus and went with Jesus on into the city. But this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, he recognized the need for vision. And he knew that from where that light would come from. So he was one of those that was already starting to search. He was already started looking. This is the type of people that we're trying to reach out to in our evangelistic missionary efforts. The people that understand that I need something. That justifying grace that where I'm saying I need God in my life. He knew where that light would come from. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Because he knew that only Jesus could restore his sight. And then when Jesus said, "What do you need?" He said, "Teacher, let me see again." Or, "Rabbi, let me teach again or see again." And then he cried out to the Lord. And as he cried out to the Lord restored his physical and spiritual sight. And he did it because he believed. He believed that only Jesus could do it. And Jesus responded, "Your faith has made you well." Now, I still find it interesting to see how the disciples responded. We think of the disciples up here. We think of Jesus and the disciples. But what we need to learn from the disciples as well is that they are not a perfect people. Did they travel the same journey that you and I travel? Did they live in a broken world? That they're not perfect, they're going to make mistakes, but they're going to grow in their faith. I mean, we see where different disciples denied Jesus. We see where different disciples betrayed Jesus. We see where they tried to quiet people and say, "Shh, don't bother him." We see where they tried to stop people from getting close to him. We're called to be disciples. We're not called to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but it does not make us any less qualified to serve God because we serve God with our hearts. And we seek to live that unconditional love. We're not going to be perfect at it, but we try to live an unconditional love like Jesus modeled. We try to be the disciples that Jesus calls us to be. But we have to learn from the mistakes that the disciples before us made. And what happened here is when the beggar called out and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The disciples and those with him said, "Shh, be quiet. Don't bother him. He's too busy. He's got something important that he's doing. He's going somewhere." They tried to quiet him. And in doing so, they demonstrated their own spiritual blindness at the time. Well, brothers and sisters, the world does the same thing to us right now. When we try to share the Word of God, when we try to talk about the works of God, people tell us to be quiet because, you know, we might offend somebody. And you know, we're supposed to be politically correct and all. I mean, that's the way that we're supposed to live. The world tries to quiet us when we try to talk about God. But fortunately for this blind beggar, and fortunately for many churches and for many Christians, for many disciples, when people try to make us be quiet, we just talk louder. And that's what this beggar shows us. It's if the world tries to put you down or people try to tell you to be quiet and you've got something to say to Jesus, well, by all means, say it. Because Jesus is listening despite what everybody else around would have you do. Just as he heard the blind beggar, he hears us when we call out. He hears those who have needs when they call out. And he stands ready to offer the light into the darkness and vision for the blind for those who cry out in his name. Brothers and sisters, we have been charged with loving God, loving our neighbor, and making disciples. That's who we are. We are to be bearers of that light. We got to reach out to those who are looking. And we will not and are not to be quieted. Because people need to see, they need to know, they need to experience that light. A light that is available to every person, regardless of their sin, regardless of the darkness from which they've walked, or what they're facing in their life. That light we talk about is a light, it's the love of our Father who loved us so much He sent His Son. It's a light that promises an eternal life and a forgiveness of our sin. It's a light that is a merciful grace given by our loving God. The light is the extraordinary Word of God and His amazing works. You see, God and Jesus are the light of this world. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The light of this world. In John 8:12, Jesus said to the people, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not stumble through the darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. And then in the Psalm, we see that the Word of God is the light. Psalm 119, your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. You see, we can walk safely in the darkness or through the forests of life or those difficult places if we have that light. But we have to be aware that light is needed, because that light is what's going to lead us away from the temptation. It's going to lead us away from the bad decisions we make and help us to see more clearly. The prophet Isaiah said in 42:16, I will lead the blind by the road they do not know. By paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. You see, brothers and sisters, we know that God's light will never succumb to the darkness. God's light will never leave us. And we know that through the giving of Jesus Christ, that light has been brought to all humanity. And we know that through this light, that sin can be pushed aside, because darkness, sin cannot exist in the presence of the light, and sin cannot exist in the presence of our Lord. Hear this. You may be the only light, the only hope that someone sees in their life today. So let the light, the Holy Spirit that resides in your heart, let that Holy Spirit shine forth and help those around us to rise above their blindness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.